look at this. He's back. We call him our chief medical explanationist. We have questions about these things. We bring Dr. Terry Simpson into the studio. Dr. Simpson, good morning.
Good morning.
We want to talk a little bit about trans fats. I think we should probably start with some sort of a definition thereof of trans fats. It is a boogeyman. It's a bad thing, right?
It is a bad thing, yeah. It is usually not found in nature. It is found, everybody has some of them. Animals have some of them, but it's an industrialized made fat. It was made, the process was determined years ago, easy, inexpensive to make relative to other fats.
And then added to food.
And then added to food. Or, you know, it's the fat content of a lot of baked goods, a lot of chips, a lot of French fries, sadly.
And the reason why we're talking about trans fats in particular is because the World Health Organization is releasing a plan, and their goal, Doc, is to wipe the global supply of trans fats out in the next 5 years. It's not a demand. It's not a directive. They really can't do that. But it's a suggestion. And I love having you in talking about diet and about food and about nutrition, because this is so in your wheelhouse. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that and whether or not you think that that would be a good value.
Well, we're decreasing the numbers in the United States and have been ever since Bloomberg did in New York when he was mayor. That's actually resulted in a perceptible decrease in heart attacks in New York City.
Interesting.
Because what trans fats do is they're kind of hard on the body. Trans fats go in, they're not processed well by the body, so they stick around a long time.
Okay.
They become a part, every cell of your body has fat. It's the cellular membrane around it. When they become intercalated into...
What does that mean?
They become incorporated...
Okay, thank you.
...into the cell membrane of arteries, that's where you start getting arterial cell damage and arteriosclerosis, atherosclerosis, and heart disease. So when I was a kid, you know, my dad had margarine because that's what his doctor said you should have,
right?
Didn't have... And it was cheaper than butter, and that's the main reason we had it. Well... You know, after my dad's second heart attack, that kind of went away.
So margarine is an example of a trans
Some margarines.
Fat. Some margarine. Can you give me a couple of other? Because I'm sure that there are people listening right now going, okay, I get this. But what would be an example of a food that would typically have trans fats
in it? A lot of baked goods in the United States are made with hydrogenated vegetable oil.
Okay.
So when you see hydrogenated oil, that's typically industrialized trans fat. And that's the bad actor in the body. Physicians have known this for years. Since in the 50s came the first report saying trans fats are bad. In the 70s, there was a huge correlation done between heart disease. And the reason we got them in our diet so much, besides they're inexpensive, was because of a food activist with no scientific background who had heart disease, who was convinced that his heart attack was caused by saturated fat. Phil Sokoloff was his name. He took out huge newspaper ads, New York Times, full-page ads, saying to McDonald's, get rid of... Remember when McDonald's french fries were good? They're not good as they were now because they, you know, they stopped using
saturated fat.
Right. And that's what happened.
So it wasn't based in science. It was based more in emotion.
And had he done a literature search, he would have realized this wasn't. So this became a public campaign. So food activists aren't all that good. So the physicians and the scientific community have known for years, this isn't good.
Wow.
Nobody really was listening.
But. So is this going to have a profound impact on the United States?
We're getting less and less trans fats in most of our foods, and they're labeled. They're by law, they're now required to be labeled. So you should look for that label. So,
because we're more aware of it now.
We are more aware. But take India, third world country.
Yeah.
That is their primary source of fat that
because
they use for cooking.
It's
cheap and readily available.
Got it.
Switching gears just a little bit here, Doc. Again, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Terry Simpson. He is our medical explanationist on the show. I found this article interesting as well because California, our neighbors there to the west, they've become the first state to prescribe food as medicine. They're going to be delivering free meals to those who are insured by Medicaid and need a specific diet to help them manage their medical condition. The theory on this, Doc, is that if they support a healthy diet based upon whatever medical condition they have, that their cost on the back end of treating disease is going to go down.
Oh.
And we have a lot of good evidence for that. So, for example, people who follow a DASH diet, one of the members of your station, one of your senior reporters did, and was able to bring his blood pressure down so he doesn't need to have blood pressure medicine.
Hmm. What's the DASH diet?
DASH diet is a diet to avoid hypertension. And that's one. It's like a Mediterranean diet. It's an American version.
Okay.
We know with the Mediterranean diet that people who increase their use of a Mediterranean diet by, and it's a 9-point scale, by 2 points, they decrease their risk of 5-year mortality by 25%, the risk of heart disease by 33%, their risk of cancer by 24%.
Wow.
Again, Doc Simpson,
wow.
I think it's like easy to talk about, and these things, it's so difficult for people to put these things into practice. The reality is that many of the things that may harm you later in life or are affecting your life right now, affecting your health, are things that you have some control over.
Yes.
It is, you spend all day preaching to people, I'm sure, about this. It's so hard to get through.
It is, but also it's a matter of availability. So okay. I have a program with some of my patients called Shop with the Doc. I have some of my patients who are in the areas where they are in poorer areas, and you look in their supermarkets, you are going to find a lot of highly processed, refined carbohydrates, which are not going to help them anywhere. You will find very little produce, maybe a banana or two. So the idea of bringing meals into an area of what we call food insecurity by bringing meals that have a lot of fresh produce will, in the long term, and even in the short term, for example, the DASH diet in 2 weeks can have that effect, will reduce medical costs. And it's all from eating better.
And I find that fascinating because, kind of dovetailing off of what Bruce was saying there, how you have a lot of control. You know, you think that, you know, your parents...
As a physician, I have no control.
You don't. No, I'm not pointing to you. But I'm saying, like, as an individual, you have you have so much control over your own health by the choices that you make, the lifestyle choices that you make.
But most people aren't aware of it. Most people don't know that if you do this, you know, it's, you know, you can get the apple as well as the Doritos, you know?
The Doritos taste so good.
They do.
Delicious.
Oh, my goodness. Doc Simpson, Dr. Terry Simpson, our medical explanationist. Thank you so much. It's good to see you again.
Is that Doritos over there?
No, I'm here.
Disappointingly, what Doritos?
No Doritos. Thank you, Doc. I appreciate that. We learn new things all the time.